Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to 106.7 The Fan. I'm Adam Epstein here on Saturday, January 16th, AWOD Weekend Radio. And I had a whole segment planned called Why the Wizards Stink. But I ended up talking NFL for over 2 hours there. But now it worked out perfectly. I get to discuss it with my friend from NBA TV. That's my guy Chris Miles here on the hotline. What's going on, Chris?
Man, why the Wizards suck? That's so brutal, bro.
Bro, I am a diehard fan, and I've already lost more than $200 betting on the Wizards this year. It was idiotic. I doubled down on them at halftime against the Magic, and they lost that one. And look, it's the team defense for me. Like, switching screens, playing off ball, chasing shooters. This team does everything you're not supposed to do. I've literally seen Davis Bertans go to double-team a man in the post, and his guy gets a layup from that. I mean, the team defense is incredibly bad. That's the start of it for me.
I mean, let's go over a few things, because that was pretty loaded. One, it sounds like you're a degenerate, because if you lost money on them and you're still putting money on them, I don't know what's wrong with you. I really don't. I think that first game against the 76ers, which seems like forever ago, when Joel Embiid just worked out inside, I was like, oh, okay. So they got to get some interior defense if they're going to be any good. And then they kept getting worked, and they feel the same team, and now they have the COVID situation. So I just don't know what you saw that made you think it's time to put some money on this team.
Believe me, it's just the homer in me. Here's number two for me, okay? Because I just got to have you react to my segment, Why the Wizards Stink. But the offense, in my opinion, and I know you watch so much NBA, so you understand the motions and all the good stuff there. It's just so stagnant. And when the three-point shots are not falling, it's embarrassing to watch. Bradley Beal, of course, he deserves a tremendous amount of credit for leading the league in scoring. But the offense revolves around him. And even worse, him having the ball in his hands. So it's like he dribbles, and then if he gets off a shot, a lot of times it goes in. But that's what Russell Westbrook was brought in for, because John Wall got Bradley Beal at least three open looks a game. And so for me, I just don't know what Scott Brooks is doing with his offensive play calling, man.
Well, they score enough points. I think what you need to focus on is the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
That's where it goes awry for this team, and that's where – you know, they got to get more balanced scoring throughout the game so Bradley Beal can have some gas in the tank to score in the fourth. I mean, he just runs out of gas. If that's what, you know, that's what we're seeing in him. Whatever it is, he's not producing in the fourth quarter. So that's where they have to figure it out and, you know, get a balanced attack in the first three quarters. I mean, the guy had 57 in the first three quarters, ended up with 60. And he had 37, ended up with 41. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
It's just one of those
things. Is that Scott Brooks' rotation then?
Ah, man, it's tough to say because I feel like when Brad gets going, he leaves him in. And as a coach, that's I actually give credit to that, you know, to let a guy continue to heat up. I just don't know what happens in the NBA. In that fourth quarter, teams, like, actually play defense. You know, like, if you look at some of the teams that are winning right now, like the Utah Jazz,
yeah,
their last three opponents, like, the most they scored is 92 points. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like they go, all right, no one's scoring on us. And that's how they turn it up. I mean, the same thing can be said with the Mavericks the past couple of games before this one. The same thing with the Lakers. It's weird. Like people always say, NBA teams don't play defense. That's halfway true. They just play so many games that it's hard to, you know, focus on the teams that are playing defense. But if you look at the top of the standings, that's where they are.
Yeah, and you know, a big thing I've noticed is in the fourth quarter, and like we said, Bradley Beal should be your closer, but he's not getting enough shots. And for some reason, Russell Westbrook, before he was injured, was shooting like 3 fourth-quarter threes, not making any of them. Thomas Bryant was trying to be a superstar, and as good as he was before he got hurt, he's not. I mean, he was just missing threes in the fourth quarter. That's not who I want, you know, shooting that shot. And then Davis Bertans, how many times have I heard Drew Gooden on the broadcast say, oh, he was paid to take and make that shot, but he shoots it sometimes with a guy right in his face or a step-back three-pointer that's got no chance. It's the shot selection is what drives me crazy at the end of the game.
Well, when you pay a guy $80 million and he's a one-trick pony, he's going to be that trick. You know, so yeah. That's what it is with Davis Bertans. I still, look, I know they felt like they had to bring him back and this and that and the third, but if you've seen it, teams have adjusted to him. They're like, look, we're not going to let this guy beat us. That's essentially what's happened. So now that you've paid him, he's on every scouting report, and teams are like, no, anybody but this guy. And, you know, Brad gets his, and they try to limit Davis. But I think all of that is just we're going in circles until they go get one of these bigs. I mean, I look at what Cleveland just did, jumping in that Houston deal, and I'm like, hold on. So Jared Allen was available, right?
Yeah.
And he's 22 years old.
And he's making like $2 million.
That's the same age as what? Rui Hachimura, right? So he is producing at, I don't want to say all-star level, but when he starts close to it, he's a difference maker. And he's clearly one of the best defensive centers in the NBA, dominated Rudy Gobert the other night, and you could have got him for a late first-round pick. I'm like, the Wizards could have jumped in on that.
Yeah.
And that's where I just wonder they're missing the opportunity. So now the buzz is seeing different guys put it out there, Andre Drummond. Okay, let's see if they get into that sweepstakes because he's going to be available, but his deal is up. So there's a bunch of, like, big men that I feel as though can help the Wizards immediately solve a lot of their problems, and they just don't have them, and they're not going to get them.
Yeah, no, it's frustrating, and I will take your advice and stop betting on them for the entire rest of the season, or until, I mean, Scott Brooks is fired.
On point.
What?
Just be over on point. Just do that. What's
yeah.
wrong with you?
No, I need you as a sports betting assistant, but let's move on to the rest of the NBA here, and what storylines are kind of catching your eye? Obviously, in the West, the Lakers at 11-3 have been really good, and just seems like they're the favorite again. I'm really interested to see what this new-look Indiana Pacers team is going to be now with Caris LeVert. But what are your thoughts around the league?
I mean, tonight, dude, James Harden making his debut for the Brooklyn Nets. That's the number. I mean, that's number one, two, and three tonight. Mm-hmm. I think that's the thing we're all paying close attention to. And then this Kyrie Nets. I mean, if Kyrie Irving comes back and is the closer that he is, and you have James Harden and Kevin Durant, I mean, that team is like, okay, so no one's going to play defense, but who's going to hit the last shot?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're fun to watch. So I think those are the biggest ones. And then, man, my man John Wall in Houston, they won that first game without John Wall, without, you know, James Harden being gone now. And they play again at 5. And I'm like, okay, with John Wall in that lineup, let's see how it looks. Is he going to put up?
Why isn't John Wall having like 9-10 assists a game? I mean, he's averaging like 5.5 right now.
Because James Harden is second in the league in assists.
Okay.
And he dribble. That's why.
I like when you say dribble.
It'd be crazy to see if Wallstar can come in and put up crazy numbers.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this. At the end of this season, who are people going to say is the best player in the league this year? Is it LeBron? Is it Kevin Durant? Who's up there?
What's crazy is, you know, LeBron is 36, and we've kind of been waiting for him not to be that guy for a while now. And even though Giannis has won back-to-back MVPs, it's clearly still LeBron.
Yeah.
but I think we're going to start to do them more like, all right, 26 and under, because we know what KD is, we know what LeBron is, like, we know who these guys are, so that this next group, and Nikola Jokic is averaging a triple-double, man, and
yeah.
He's the number one clutch scorer in the NBA in the past two seasons. So it's like, is it him? But Anthony Davis is better, and he's a champion, and he plays better defense. Okay, what about Luka Doncic? I think kind of those are the guys that are still in that discussion, while we still, you know, LeBron and Kawhi and Giannis still kind of have that mantle. It's kind of, you're waiting to see if one of those guys I just mentioned are going to step in. And, you know, a guy that in a couple of years I could see being in that combo, man, Ja Morant. I know he's hurt right now. And it's like, oh, that's the rookie of the year. And he was better than Zion Williamson.
Well, let me follow up on that, because I've been disappointed with Zion recently. I mean, he feels like a one-trick pony.
I mean, I try to explain that to people before that draft. That and here's the thing. I will say, Zion works hard. I work with his, like, AAU coach. You know what I mean? And I did a one-on-one interview when he was in high school. I can send that to you so you can check it out. And I like him. But when he walked into the room, I'm like, this dude is, like, 6'5". Like, he's gonna. That's why he leads the league in getting a shot blocked. You know, if he's not jumping above the rim and dunking on someone, these guys are blocking his shot, man. So I think that's – I mean, he puts up good numbers. I just think for his game, he's short.
Yeah.
And part in NBA, I mean, I tell people, go sit at the game courtside and see what I'm talking about.
Like, well, because when he takes
–
when he takes contact, it's like if they don't call a foul – he's shooting from about 8 feet in the air. You know what I mean? Because he's hanging in the air, and that's when he's getting blocked, when he doesn't get a foul.
Yeah, I just think you can't teach height.
Yeah.
And if you look at these teams that are extremely successful, they kind of did that. Like, everyone's like, oh, small ball. Yeah, that worked with the Warriors is Kevin Durant's a 7-footer. He's just not traditional. You know, so it's like they still weren't that short. Like, Draymond is a little bit taller than Zion, I would say. At least I feel that way in seeing them both, you know, in different times. Klay Thompson was 6'7", Steph 6'3". Like, they weren't a tiny team when they were doing the, quote, small ball thing, man. Zion is shorter than, like, all of those guys except Steph, so to put that in perspective. And he's playing center sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm Adam Epstein, and joining me right now is Chris Miles. You can follow him on Twitter for all the best NBA content. That's at Chris Miles TV. I want to get to the hard question now, and that's dealing with COVID and how the NBA has gone about it with their new protocols now. Will they be able to finish the season?
I mean, I sure hope so. Look, I think this week was a huge scare, and I think that they did a good job of getting through it. So what we saw with the Boston Celtics, who missed a full week of games, right? You kind of go, oh, snap. So that's the Celtics out of it. Now the Wizards and the Phoenix Suns, how many more teams? Well, the Minnesota Timberwolves, Karl Anthony Towns tested positive. So you have like four teams kind of involved in it, but the Celtics are back in the mix. The Suns are expected to get back in the mix early next week. But it's the Wizards that are really the biggest question in the league. I mean, they had six guys test positive. They're not going to play on Sunday and Monday. So you hope that everybody's, you know, going to get back and get healthy. I saw where I believe it was either Tommy Shepard or Scott Brooks saying that four of the six guys are asymptomatic, which is great news to hear. But that means there are two guys who are, you know, who have symptoms.
Yeah.
And who are not going to be 100%.
Well, Chris, why aren't people, like, calling out the NBA and saying what seems obvious is that they brought Bradley Beal back too quick? I mean, they contact traced him, and then he hung out with Jason Tatum, and so he couldn't play. And then he comes back, and then they had another breakout? So, like, is it possible that he was asymptomatic and spread it after that?
No. Okay, let's take a step back, first and foremost. The reason why is because, remember, it's an incubation period. So when you point to that, whoever had it first and was, you know, spread it to the rest of the team, wherever you want to say it, it was prior to that. Do you see what I mean? So
yeah.
I don't think that's what it is. That's why I think that's not a thing that's floating around. And I could be wrong. I'm no science expert, but, you know, we've had a year of this and trying to understand it. And, you know, they say what it's the 10-day period in which you can track it before you have the symptoms. So we've seen all the, you know, all the guys with the symptoms and that sort of thing. That's prior to the Jason Tatum situation.
Yeah. No.
And Brad sitting out of game. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, good stuff, Chris. Really appreciate it, man. And, of course, I'll be watching you whenever I get a chance.
Hey, make sure you watch tonight. What's wrong with you, man? I was on all morning. I'm going to be on tonight again when you get a chance. You're going to go home. You're going to watch, man. You're going to turn from that playoff game tonight. Watch for a few minutes.
Yeah. No, as soon as I lose my money, I'm going to put you on TV. I am a degenerate gambler. Thanks so much, Chris.
Hey, wait. Monday, I got to get you on my show, man. We got to reciprocate.
Oh.
Man, reciprocate.
Dude.
Talk some NFL action.
You hit me up. I'm 100% on it. No problem, man.
All right, Monday, I'm on 1-4. I'm going to text you about the time.
All right, sounds good. That's Chris Miles from NBA TV. I'm Adam Epstein, and don't go anywhere. Welcome back to 106.7 The Fan on a Saturday afternoon. I'm Adam Epstein, and we got some big NFL games coming up, and I'll preview that next, but right now, it's time for the DC Cartwheel, my notes and thoughts on the Caps, Wizards, Nats, Washington football team. And I talked about Washington throughout the show and how I think we're really on the cusp of something great. And man, I mean, I really, guys, I can't believe that we made the playoffs and that we were in a playoff game against Tom Brady and a Bucs team that's excellent on both sides of the ball. That's what what really surprised me about that game is I didn't expect them to stuff the run as well as they did with Ndamukong Suh up front. I mean, we couldn't get anything going. The only time we ran for 10 yards is when we broke it outside. But it's a building block, and I'm looking forward to the draft and the offseason. I said it. If you missed it, I'll say it again. My biggest needs are wide receiver help, a star middle linebacker, either in the draft or in free agency, and a veteran quarterback here, and letting Alex Smith walk the rest of his path of destiny, not as a member of the Washington football team. I can't wait for that movie, though. I mean, I'm going to buy the crap out of that DVD. Let's talk about the Wizards, though. I just had Chris Miles in the show, and their struggles this season are heartbreaking. I mean, I was so excited. I took 1,000 calls when John Wall was traded. A lot of people called and said he sucked the entire time he was here, and they were so happy to have Russell Westbrook. And then, of course, you had people like me that I miss John Wall every single day, every single second. Every time I see a fast break highlight of him, I shed a tear. And Russell Westbrook's came in and has been the opposite of durability. Gotten injured, played terrible. Now he's out for 3 weeks. Thomas Bryant, torn ACL. The team is in shambles, and no, I do not want to blow it up and trade Bradley Beal, but I'm done with Scott Brooks. His defense stinks game after game after game. How has he not been fired yet? We're terrible defensively, actually worse than we were in the bubble when we won absolutely zero games. That's when he should have been fired. His rotations, minutes for players, very, very questionable. Players will go a week without playing after having a solid performance. He thought he was so brilliant with his three-guard lineup that's been an absolute joke. Ish, Neto, and Westbrook are the same type of player. They can facilitate, but they can't hit a three-pointer when it matters. This NBA in 2021 is all about your point guard being able to hit a three-pointer. Look around the league. Successful point guards who can shoot threes. Jamal Murray, Pat Beverly, LeBron, Kyrie, Kemba Walker, James Harden, Trae Young, Chris Paul. Literally, you need a point guard who can shoot. How have we not figured that out? So should we trade Bradley Beal and blow it up? I don't think so. I think you got to hit in the draft. That's your only hope. Because we tried with Rui Hachimura, and I still have hope for him, but he's been far from spectacular. The rookie Denny is learning the game, but he's a three-year project. Troy Brown, wow, was that a miss? He doesn't even play anymore. So the only way we get back to the playoffs is if we fire Scott Brooks and bring in another scorer who can average 18 to 20 points a game. I thought that was going to be Russell. I really did. But now he's averaging like 10 to 14 a night. He's out for 3 weeks, and he goes on cold stretches where he goes 0 of 8. It's embarrassing. And the whole season, he has not had the lift that we hope from him. over to the Caps here. The Caps are off to a hot start. Back-to-back wins and two young goalies. They play tomorrow against Pittsburgh and then on Tuesday against Pittsburgh. Zdeno Chara has been awesome. I mean, I've been a fan of his since I was playing NHL 2014. And he was knocking guys off their feet at 7 foot. It's incredible. I really think Jacob Verana is the key to the Caps going far. We saw him with a quick steal and goal there. And look, he's their young, talented guy that with super speed and so much ability. I'm really looking forward to him taking a next step with this Caps team. Over to the Washington Nationals, they bring in Josh Bell and Kyle Schwarber. And with those two, we can finally say we've tried to adequately replace the Anthony Rendon bat. I mean, last year wasn't even an attempt. After you win the World Series, and he's the most valuable player at the bat, at the plate. I mean, Strasburg was incredible, but he wasn't hitting home runs and doubles off the wall like Anthony Rendon was literally every time there was a guy on base. And so you knew in the offseason directly following him leaving to Los Angeles that you couldn't replace that. But this offseason, it seems like they finally figured that out, bringing in Josh Bell. Kyle Schwarber, I think he's going to hit bombs. I hope he doesn't strike out too much, but he's a big, meaty bat that I have been a fan of since his time in Chicago. And then just to end this here with the Washington football team, and if you missed it earlier in the show, who my top three are for quarterback next year, it's Stafford, Marcus Mariota, and Ryan Fitzpatrick. Mariota being the guy that I think has the most potential, but I absolutely need Taylor Heinicke on the roster. Don't let him be this season's Josh Johnson, who got us fired up in a meaningless game, while Heinicke got us fired up in a meaningful game. He's absolutely got to be on the roster next season. All right. It's time for me now to break down the NFL games, give you my BetQL.co lock of the week and my upset of the week here on Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. Don't change that dial. You got big fat winners coming up next. Welcome back to 106.7 The Fan. Adam Epstein with you here at The One Sports Nerd on Twitter. You can hit me up for all your latest news and notes about the DC sports teams, as I am a diehard fan of all the teams. Wiz, Caps, Nats, Washington football team, DC United, Washington Mystics, the Castles, the tennis team, you name it. Hit me up at The One Sports Nerd, THE number one, SPORTSNERD. All right, guys, let's go around the NFL here. Darius, maybe you can bump some NFL music here to get me fired up and give you the biggest news and notes and, of course, your playoff previews. Jacksonville hires Urban Meyer. Wow, Urban Meyer back in charge in the state of Florida. Will he have success? Well, he has the top pick in the draft, and Trevor Lawrence is surely his target, the long-haired blonde with a rocket arm and huge strides when he runs. I think he's going to come into the NFL and win games. A lot of people are saying he'll be more successful his rookie season than Kyler Murray and Joe Burrow were. He's got a crazy combo of athleticism, arm talent, and craftiness. I'm a huge fan. I think he's going to be very, very good. But what else does Jacksonville have? Well, they have 10 picks in the draft, so he can take his pick at the top talent in college football. My guess is he will grab a few of his former players at Ohio State. I think Jacksonville is a three-year project, though, for Urban Meyer, but it seems like the perfect hire for them. The New York Jets, they hire Robert Saleh. Robert Saleh, you know what? I love it. The first Muslim head coach in the NFL to be hired. A guy who just 2 years ago took the 49ers defense to an unbelievably exciting level and helped them make a Super Bowl. Again, this season, he was emotional and uplifting on the sideline. You saw it when he played against Washington. And San Francisco didn't even have a quarterback this season, and they were able to upset a few good teams. And now, let's think back to the last time the Jets were any good. Well, it was with Rex Ryan at the helm and Bart Scott leading that defense. So the Jets and a defensive coach seems to be a perfect fit for me. He'll have to figure out that quarterback situation and hire him a solid offensive coordinator. But the Jets grabbing Saleh is, and with draft picks to spile up, is a good match for me. Who will the Chargers hire? I think they're going to go after Brian Daboll, the OC of Buffalo. Look what he's done with Josh Allen. Pair him with the strong arm of Justin Herbert, and that offense could be elite. Philly, what are you doing? The Philadelphia Eagles fired Doug Peterson. The guy literally won them a Super Bowl just 3 years ago, and now he's gone? Wow. If that was in Washington, I might be done with my team. But I guess he should have had a discussion with ownership about him playing Sudfeld before the game. Maybe it would have been less of a story. Instead, the entire NFL called him a loser, and he lost his job. Atlanta is supposedly to land their top choice in Arthur Smith, the Tennessee Titans OC. Top choice is the Titans OC? I mean, Tennessee's offense is good, but you know whose offense has been better? The offense of Eric Bieniemy in Kansas City. Which brings me to my latest question for the NFL. Where in the world were Eric Bieniemy be in 2021? Are you kidding me? This is a joke. Hire that man. The scary thing is, he could be an excellent hire for Philly. But they haven't even requested an interview with him. Houston is a spot, but not if Deshaun Watson wants out. It's a huge mess to clean up after Bill O'Brien. Detroit's another option for him, but there just doesn't seem too much momentum behind it. Part of my thoughts on why he continues to be passed over is because he only focuses on the current season, and the Chiefs are always in the playoffs, while other coaching vacancies are being filled. By the time the Chiefs are eliminated, or after the Super Bowl, all the best landing spots are taken. Or it just could be blind racism by the NFL owners. What are they doing? Not giving credit to him for Kansas City, and it all goes to Andy Reid? I know Andy's got a great system, and he's been balling ever since he was the coach in Philly with nothing but 10-win seasons. But you got to give some credit to the OC who's calling the plays. I mean, come on. Kansas City is consistently one of the most forward-thinking offenses in the league, and they score almost more than anybody. Come on, NFL. You have to do better. All right, time for my playoff picks here. Get your pens out. I'm telling you, I got winners. Today at 4:35 is the game. No, this game will not be on Nickelodeon. There will be no Slime Zone, and I'll give you more thoughts on that in a minute. Rams versus Packers. Yes, it's defense versus offense. The 10-6 Rams travel to Lambeau to take on Aaron Rodgers. Hey, Rodge. And the 13-3 number one seed Green Bay Packers. The number one scoring offense in 2020 versus the number one scoring defense. We'll have to check the injury report as we get closer to game plan, but I think the Packers cover the spread in this one. Seattle's offense had issues the entire second half of the season, so it really shouldn't have been so surprising to me the way LA made them look putrid, unable to score points. Green Bay won't have that issue. Why? Because Aaron Rodgers gets the ball out of his hands quick. Russell's been holding on to it way too long this season, trying to take deep shots. Well, Aaron Rodgers finds the open man, moves the chain, and then takes the deep shot. I think he's going to prove to the world how much better of a quarterback he is than Russell Wilson. He's a gadget guy. Russell's a scramble. He'll run for some yards. Aaron Rodgers is going to sit back in that pocket and throw dimes. I also think that the Rams won't get the same performance by Cam Akers, who ran all over the Seattle defense. Packers are strong on the defensive line with my guy Preston Smith, former Washington football team player. And last thing on the Packers, you need to listen to Green and Yellow. Lil Wayne dropped a new song for the Packers. That's how I got excited for my show, and that's why I've been screaming all show long. Fires me up. I love Lil Wayne. Don't love everything about him, but I love Lil Wayne. Ravens versus Bills, 8:15 on NBC. Buffalo, the hottest team in the league right now. Even better when they play at home. Fired up, dancing in the snow. This game is going to be all about which team can get stops on the defensive end. I expect Buffalo to get off to a faster start than they did against the Colts when they were down, I believe, 10-0 and had to fight back. I think Josh Allen will be slinging all over the place, and they have a solid rushing attack with Singletary. The defense has players, playmakers on it with the linebacker and the secondary. The question is, who will get the ball last, in my opinion? This is either going to come down to a one-score game in which Baltimore can steal the victory late, or a Bills blowout where Lamar gets held under 50 yards. I'm going Bills blowout, Bills minus 6.5. All right, over to NFL Sunday. NFL Sunday here. 11-5, the sixth seed Cleveland Browns. Everyone's darling angels for knocking off the Steelers last week. They traveled to Kansas City to face the top-seeded Chiefs at 14-2. Their only losses this year, an absolute shootout to Oakland and a Week 17 loss to the Chargers. Oh, and Andy Reid is 7-0 as a head coach versus Cleveland. But this game, I'm looking forward to the most because I think it is going to be very high scoring. Everyone thinks that it might be low scoring because the Browns can run the ball well on anyone. But you know what that does? That sets up the play action shots for guys like Jarvis Landry. And the Chiefs, they can go up and down the field in 5 minutes and score whenever they want. So if the Browns get an early lead, this will be an absolute shootout. Here's my pick. I like the Chiefs to win 35-31. Take the over. Bucks Saints Sunday at 6:40 on Fox. In my opinion, the Saints, they're the biggest frauds in the playoffs right now. I can't stand that whole gadget thing with Taysom Hill. I think Drew Brees is over the hill. They defeated the Bears pretty handily, but Chicago didn't even deserve to be in the playoffs. And Tampa, on the other hand, yeah, they escaped past Washington with just an 8-point victory, but Chris Godwin dropped like 5 passes that would have been easy scores. Washington's defense is also much more dominant than the Saints, and these gadget plays with Sean Payton, and they love to run the ball with Alvin Kamara, they're going to be swallowed up by Ndamukong Suh and that D-line of the Bucks. He can be almost as dominant as Aaron Donald at times. Not only do I have the Bucks winning this game, but I'm on the alternate line. Check it out on your sports book of Bucks minus 3.5. You can get that at plus 225. I think the Bucks will start early. They'll have a lead for the entire game. Brady will score 21 in the first half, and they'll win 35-27. All right? That's my picks. If you think I'm wrong, call in 1-800-636-1067. Let me know who you have winning wild card weekend. And I think the best Super Bowl matchup that I'm rooting for would be a combo of Brady or Rodgers versus Patrick Mahomes. That's got to be as exciting as can be. One segment left here on The Fan, my non-sports segment. Some big news to talk about off the field. Welcome back to 106.7 The Fan. I'm Adam Epstein. And it's time for my non-sports segment here. What's going on in my life, on and off the field? You know, I'm hitting the gridiron. I'm just kidding. But I wanted to talk about the Nickelodeon broadcast. Darius, you're a kid just like me who I'm sure you grew up watching all the Nickelodeon shows. Drake and Josh, Rocket Power, Rugrats, Ren and Stimpy. Am I missing some? Ren and Stimpy might have been Cartoon Network, actually.
No. How dare you? That was definitely Nickelodeon. Okay. Nickelodeon over Cartoon
Network. How dare you?
Well, because it's Nickelodeon over Cartoon Network.
Oh, and over Disney.
Oh, absolutely. Disney doesn't even compare. Rocko's Modern Life, Hey Arnold.
Oh, my God. Yeah. How did I forget Hey Arnold?
Yeah, exactly.
Here's the funny thing. So, you know, Hey Arnold, the white guy, his best friend, Gerald. I grew up with a best friend named Gerald. Like,
oh, so you're Arnold.
Hopefully.
you didn't have a cool loft like he did.
Though. Or a football head.
or a crazy chick named Helga chasing after you.
I wish, right? But so what did you think of the broadcast? Because I thought there were cool graphics. I kind of gave it a 5 out of 10. I thought it was good announcing by, I believe it was Noah Eagle. And Nate Burleson was fantastic. The girl was just average, if that. I mean, she just kind of laughed. And asked dumb questions, but she at least tried to have fun. But the explanation to kids, as much as I thought it was a great idea, I don't know about you guys, but I feel like I knew all the rules by heart by the time I was like 7 years old, and maybe even earlier from video games. So I'm not sure this would have helped me when I was younger. But I will say, the fact that Nate Burleson was doing 100 references to 90s and even 80s Nickelodeon shows was freaking delightful. Like, he kept referencing Double Dare 2000. There's no kids that know anything about Double Dare.
It was definitely a very unique broadcast. The on-field graphics and the slime, which they didn't get to use much because there wasn't many touchdowns in the game. It was, you know, it was kind of corny. Maybe I didn't watch it with anybody young. I watched it by myself.
Did you see the end of the game interview with what was it? Cam Jordan, maybe?
No.
So basically, like, it was the most awkward thing. The kid was like, your coach said, if you win, I can slime him. And he was like, all right, where's the coach? And then they're like, he walked off the field. And the player was like, man, you missed your opportunity. And then he picked up the bucket of slime and like was kind of like politely asking if he could slime him. And then like they never even slimed anyone. Like Nickelodeon, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like they should have slimed. Like Nate Burleson should have been covered in slime by the fourth quarter.
That was a missed opportunity.
Missed opportunity.
That's what Nick is known for. Now, the one thing that stood out to me, though, was Mitch Trubisky won the MVP vote from the fans.
Yeah, what?
What in the world was that? Are you kidding? There's no way we failed kids this way to where they're voting for Mitch Trubisky as the MVP in a game where he only put up 7 points.
Here's the thing, though. I'm 28 and I'm watching it. I just think it must have been a bunch of like four-year-olds that were voting.
It had to be. It had to be.
Crazy. We'll always remember that. Mitch Trubisky on Nickelodeon's first MVP in a losing effort. What else is going on in non-sports? Disney Plus starts WandaVision. That was last night. I'm absolutely going to watch it today. I'm super excited for that.
I could not wait to get off of work yesterday so I can go home and watch these first two episodes that released last night, and it was very well worth it. Welcome back to the Marvel Cinematic Universe. It's gonna be a great year.
Love
a nonstop Marvel for the rest of the year.
Well, I'm glad Disney Plus has something because it's like I bought it like a year and a half ago now, and the only freaking show that was worth watching was The Mandalorian.
Yeah.
And I went through all the old content, obviously. But it's time for me to spoil the Mandalorian finale. If you haven't heard it, I guess, or haven't seen it, I guess turn off your radio real quick. But it was so incredible. They got Mark Hamill. They got the original Luke back. And basically did a shot-for-shot remake from when Darth Vader attacked in the fifth movie. It was brilliant directing. They de-aged Mark Hamill. And I loved every moment of it. I love that series so much. Check it out if you haven't seen it. I'll miss Baby Yoda, a.k.a. Grogu. And I can't wait for the next series that Star Wars does, if it's Ahsoka Tano or Obi-Fett or Obi-Wan. Jon Favreau and them, they're doing an excellent job with everything in that series. Idaris, I told you I've been listening to a lot of audiobooks, books on tape. I'm about finished with the book called The Man from Mars. And if you like sci-fi, absolutely need to check that out. You'll be grokking about it all day. That's an inside joke for people who have read the book. But anyway, I need a new sci-fi book. So if you have any recommendations, let me know. I'm at @TheOneSportsNerd on Twitter. You got anything? You got any good sci-fi books? You're just gaming. You're just video gaming.
I'm not a book guy. I desire to be. I'm not a book guy. I'm just not. I've never really been into reading as I probably should.
You're a football guy's football guy.
Yeah.
I like it.
It is what it is.
In the food world, I got this bread from Harris Teeter called Thick Cut Brioche Style. And oh my gosh, Darius, it's deliciousness. I love it. Give me thick cut bread for the rest of my life now. I'll tell you guys, I tried to cut carbs on and off for the last 5 years. I just can't do it. I love bread and potatoes like I love my mother.
And you got this from the store?
Yeah.
What store?
Harris Teeter.
Oh.
It was just, you got it. I guess I dug deep in the bread section. I saw brioche on it, and I was like, wait, what? But it thick cut with a sandwich. And here's the thing, is I'm the kind of guy that I always toast my sandwich. But it was good cold like that because the thick bread mixed with my ham and turkey and my provolone.
I think the bread section is underappreciated at most grocery stores.
What are your favorite breads? Every time I go, I'm picking up a non-garlic bread.
Oh man, no, that garlic bread is number one seed. It's no question about it. Yeah, garlic, gotta have garlic bread.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Hawaiian rolls, of course. Hawaiian rolls are a top seed as well.
Yeah, no. Mm-hmm. Hawaiian rolls are delicious, and you don't even need butter. It's like that's how good they are.
Nope.
So we were talking about Marvel, and news dropped today that the next Spider-Man, Spider-Man 3, and Spider-Man 1, incredible. Spider-Man 2, even better. They take him to Europe, Far From Home. Spider-Man 3, the breaking news, photos from the set reveal that the Spider-Man movie, Spider-Man 3, will be set during Christmas season with a picture of Spider-Man wearing a Santa hat. What do you think about that?
I'm into it. I believe it's releasing in the holiday season as well. So yeah. That makes sense. It makes sense that it fits with the theme of the time that it's going to release.
Since the last time I've been on here, we had New Year's. And during that time, I rewatched Die Hard 1 and Die Hard 2. absolutely love Die Hard 2, set in Washington, D.C., and it might be even better than Die Hard 1. And guys, it's absolutely a Christmas movie. They say Merry Christmas during the movie. So, Darius, you know I like to give you homework. If you haven't seen it, rewatch Die Hard 2. I'm Adam Epstein. Thanks, everyone, for checking out the show. You can also check out the Overtime podcast if you missed it on the 106.7 The Fan feed.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.